Well, a couple of earthquakes hitting in Arizona, Black Canyon City, and then hit another one in Black Canyon City. They got hit with a 4.1 and a 4.0. No reports of damage or injuries at this time. The earthquake swarms are beginning. We're going to come back in a moment with Rob Schwartz. We're going to be taking phone calls, stories about your past life regressions, and thoughts of the soul next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back, Rob Schwartz with us. This is going to be our final hour as we talk about his works, of course, Your Soul's Plan and Your Soul's Gift. What's on tap for book number three, Rob?
George, I think I would like to do a book about relationships. And any of your listeners who would like to participate, the people who will be in the book, whose pre-birth plans we'll talk about, they will receive a free between-life soul regression. So any listeners who would like to be a part of that process and talk about the pre-birth planning of their relationships, write to me at rob.schwartz@yoursoulsplan.com or go to the website, yoursoulsplan.com, use the contact form. Tell me a little bit about your current relationships, and I'll be in touch.
Interesting take. And what's the angle?
The angle will be to explain more about why we plan certain experiences, and in particular, why we plan difficult relationships. I think we would all agree relationships are a central part of the earth and the human experience. Why do we want to have these relationships? How do they foster growth at the soul level? Those will be questions I'll attempt to answer in the next book.
Now, when you were doing your hypnosis studying, going through those courses to do that, did you do it with being a past life regressor in mind? Is that what you wanted to do?
No, actually, from the very beginning, my focus was on the next stage in the training, which is learning how to offer between lives regressions to people. And the reason I wanted to do that, George, is that, you know, Your Soul's Plan, my first book, came out at the beginning of 2007. And from the moment it came out, people around the world started to write to me, and they would say, I want to know what I planned before I was born. And for a number of years, I always responded to those emails in exactly the same way. I would say, you know, I'm not a medium or a channel. If you'd like to know what your life plan is, work with one of the mediums or channels in the book or seek out another medium or channel on your own. But then I learned about the field of life between lives regressions, and I realized this was a way that I could help people to find out their life plan, and it would be as a direct experience. In other words, they wouldn't have to go to somebody else and rely on the accuracy of what that person was telling them. They could find out on their own by talking to the council, and that was the motivation for doing that.
Great motivation indeed, too. You do a good job.
Thank you.
We're going to take calls here. Let's go to Kevin in Vancouver, Canada, to get started. Hello, Kevin. Good morning.
Hi, George. Thanks very much, and hi, Rob.
Sure.
I've got a couple of questions for you, Rob. The first is, have you ever looked at the bigger picture? In other words, why are we, I believed in reincarnation for a long time, but sometimes I go, why are we even doing this? Like, if we're all just part of God anyways, and God is God, why are fragments of God trying to experience what it already is? And the second question I have is, do you distinguish between the higher self and the soul?
Let me take your second question first, Kevin, because I can answer that faster. I do not distinguish between the higher self and the soul. I use those terms interchangeably. Now, I know that other people use them to mean different things, but to me, they're identical. Coming back to your first question, as I understand it, what is basically happening here, the bigger picture, is that God is experiencing himself or herself through us. So each one of us is an individualized expression of God, of the divine. We're in a state of amnesia, but the divine spark is within us and is experiencing life on the physical plane through us. So, in other words, in the non-physical, as I understand it, there's a lack or an absence of contrast, meaning that it's a realm of great love and light and peace and joy as it's classically portrayed. And so in such a realm in which there is an absence of contrast, God cannot fully experience him or herself. And by the same token, individualized souls who are made from the energy of unconditional love cannot fully understand who they are because there's a lack of contrast to the unconditional love. So So I think bottom line, what we're doing here on the Earth plane, Kevin, is that we are coming for the experience of what you could call the not love, which we would all agree there's a lot of. Because then at the end of a physical lifetime, when we return to spirit, we have a much more profound self-knowing, a much more profound understanding of who we are as beings made literally from the energy of unconditional love.
Rob, explain your take on what a soulmate is, because now I've heard that you can have more than one.
I think you can. The term soulmate is often used to refer to someone who is a romantic partner, but that is not my understanding of it. I understand it to be a much broader term, which basically means anybody that you're doing significant pre-birth planning with. So the other members of your soul group, in that sense, are soulmates. If you plan a lifetime with other souls who are not in your soul group, then they become soulmates because they're doing the pre-birth planning with you and they're playing significant roles in your life and you're playing a significant role in theirs once you come into body.
All right, let's go to Ann in Oklahoma now. Hello, Ann. Welcome to the show. Go ahead.
Hello. Thank you.
Sure.
Rob, you are excellent. I have, I'm 68. I have clear memory since I was 9 or so of standing at the threshold of the doorway to the council. And there were 9 or 12 old men sitting in a semicircle high up. And I stood in that doorway and I kept insisting, I must go now, I must. And they said, no, you should not go. You will not be the same when you come back. And I said, I have to go now. I would not even put my foot over the threshold. Well, it turns out I got born when I was 13. I'm from New York originally, and for many years, I bumped into a very person who would become famous a year later and remained famous to this day. And he was 12 years older than I. So by the time I was 15, he had gotten married to a childhood sweetheart, pre-planned for many years. And I mean, I saw him, through all the years until I turned 21. And it just broke my heart. And I realized I can't, you know, it was just wrong. It was morally wrong. But I was too late, and I will never be the same again. I mean, my life was ruined once I married someone else. I was ruined. But then I had a daughter, which I think is his. But I quickly got married because of circumstances. I missed whatever and thought, I better get married. And someone had pursued me. Well, this daughter is the most excellent person I have ever met. When she was 9, she came out of bed and told me, Mommy, I remember before I got born, and I had angels, and I had the choice of choosing between 3 sets of parents, and I chose you because I needed you. I needed your spirit, and it's okay that daddy molested me, which he did from her infancy till she was 6, until the local sheriff told me to run, leave the state, which I did. Oh, my God, it was just a misery. But she has turned out to be the most magnificent person. And while she waited to get born, her personal angel took her all through the universe, anywhere she wanted to go. And the most significant one is she wanted to go to Saturn. And she said, I was just a golden light, and so was my angel. And he said, hold my hand. And she said, I don't know what that is. And he showed her by extending a hand. So she thought the same thing and put out a hand. And as they went through the rings of Saturn, pardon me, her angel said, now you're going to hear a lot of terrible sounds and noises. Don't look either way. We look directly to Saturn. So they got through all the noise and terrible, terrible sounds and got to Saturn. And she said, Mommy, I learned the people there are rocks. They're rocks, and they have a great intellect, but they move very, very slow, and they think very slow. Anyway, that's just the very tip of the iceberg.
Okay. Thanks for sharing that story with us. Interesting take, though. Go ahead, Rob.
I very much appreciate that story, and I hear a lot of stories like this in my work, and it's always fascinating to me to hear the pre-birth memories of people before they came into body. You know, I had the honor a few years ago of speaking at Findhorn, the spiritual community in Scotland, and I remember meeting a seven-year-old boy there. His name was Gabriel, and I had been told about Gabriel before I met him. People said, you've got to talk to this boy. He remembers how he and his sister chose their parents. Well, I had the opportunity to meet him when I was at Findhorn, and I said to him, Gabriel, you know, I understand that you remember choosing your parents with your sister before you came into body. Can you tell me what that was like? And he said, well, my sister and I were together on the other side, and we were being shown all the souls who could be our parents in this lifetime. And there was all this light around two of them, and I turned to my sister and I said, let's choose those two, and that's how we picked them.
Okay, next up, we go to Gary in Stockton, California. Gary, it's your turn. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing tonight, George?
Great, Gary. Thank you.
I've been listening for ages and ages. I used to have to drive up to the eastern side of the Sierras to pick up ARC coming out of Vegas years ago.
Oh, that's a long time ago.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, I had a question for your guest. I
sure.
want to relate an experience. I used to meditate a lot for many years, and a few times I had experiences that were like memories of past lives or something. For example, one time I was in India, and it seemed like I was experiencing it, like it was a memory, or maybe I was experiencing someone now, but I was a small boy, and some older man was instructing me to transfer my consciousness into an elephant. He kept telling me, be the elephant, until I could feel the elephant and see through its eyes.
Hmm.
That was a strange one.
That was weird.
And then I have a question for
you. Were you given any understanding of how that past life related to the current lifetime?
Well, I've been drawn to meditation since I was a teen and been doing it a long time, and I've studied different types of yoga. And I seem to be drawn towards that, Raja Yoga and Karma Yoga, and the science of the mind is what they call the Raja Yoga. And I've been doing that for a long time, experiencing synchronicities and all kinds of things. And I have a question. I had an experience about a month ago. I've been going through chemotherapy weekly, and three times now I've lost consciousness the day after the chemo. And the last time it happened, I was in a Kmart, and this was like a shift in consciousness, because all of a sudden I was seeing something that I knew I recognized but couldn't place what it was. And then a fraction of a second later, I was seeing something else past me, and I knew I should recognize it, but I didn't. And then I ended up on the ground, and I got up right away, didn't seem to black out. And then I got out of the store, and I sat down and reviewed what I had seen, and I realized what it was. I was looking at something that twisted and then got shorter, and I realized that what I was looking at was myself from about 10 feet up and off to the right a bit.
Hmm.
I watched myself as my legs buckled and twisted, and I was starting to fall, and then my consciousness shifted to where I saw the shell spinning as my body spun when I was hitting the ground.
A little bit of astral projection, it sounds like, Rob. Do you get into that at all?
You know, I have not really studied that, George, but it does sound, Gary, like you had some type of spontaneous out-of-body experience.
Yeah, it does.
We leave our bodies when we sleep, but other people, sometimes people who have cultivated the ability to do that in past lives, do it more easily and more readily under other circumstances as you did. This could even be something, a skill that you acquired in the past life in India that you talked about, and in other lifetimes as well. So it may just be something you're doing naturally now.
What message would you like people, Rob, to grasp just listening to you today?
You know, George, I think the most important message I can give people is to remind them of who they really are, that you are more than the body, more than the personality. You are, in fact, a holy, eternal soul, and a very courageous soul for coming into body and planning before you did so to experience the challenges that you faced here. A lot of times when I say this to people, they'll say, well, how can I think of myself as courageous when I'm afraid so much of the time? You know, the answer to that very good question is that everybody listening tonight knew before they came into body that fear would be a big part of the package. There's no way you could not have known that. I would submit to you that only the courageous plan fear. I'll say it again. Only the courageous plan fear. So remember that you are a tremendously courageous being for coming here and having the experiences that you're having.
Let's go to Michael, first-time caller in my hometown of Detroit. Michael, go ahead.
Mr. Norrie, I'm honored to speak with you, sir. Anyway, let me get right to it.
Sure thing.
Many years ago, I met a woman from Garden City, Michigan, who you have spoken of many times, Ms. Gondola.
Mm-hmm.
And I entered her establishment, and I went to talk to her because I was just drawn to her place. The problem that I had was that I walked in there. The minute I walked in there, she started eyeing me very cautiously. And when I told her why I was there, I was looking for a reading. There was something that I felt I needed to be there. And she tried to start to attempt a reading, although she seemed very cautious about it. And finally, she looked at me and she said, I just can't give you any information. There is no way for me to give you any information. There is a block or something going on. And so I wanted to ask your guest tonight what he thought about that, how that could be possible.
I think there are different ways in which you can block a medium from reading you. One would be if your guides are somehow interceding. And the reason they might do that is that it could perhaps not be for your highest and greatest good to have that particular medium read you at that point. So the guides would know this, they would have the higher perspective, and they could step in energetically and prevent the reading from happening. It can also be that feelings of unworthiness can intercede. You know, if you feel on some level, perhaps not conscious, that you are somehow unworthy of having the reading or having the information that could come from it, that can interfere energetically with it. If there's something about it that is inconsistent with your belief system, the lack of belief in what is happening can energetically undermine the process. That's one of the most common reasons that people who go to mediums don't get good results. On some level, they simply don't believe that what the medium is doing is valid, and energetically that undercuts what is happening with the medium.
Would you believe that with the souls and the regressions of the souls, you don't believe in evil, but what can we do to perfect these souls, to make them better than they are right now? Is there anything we can do?
I think that that is the bottom line purpose of why we're here. We are part of our souls. We are our souls are us, and we are helping the soul become perfected to move toward a place of greater light and greater love through all the experience we have here. You know, the bottom line, what we're doing here is that we're learning how to give and receive love. So if you would like to help your soul evolve, be very open to receiving love from other people, and of course, do whatever you can to give love to other people. If you never did anything other than just focus on that over the course of a lifetime, that would do wonders for the development of the soul.
Sure, Red. Rob, we're going to come back and take final phone calls for you in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM. And also invite all of you to go to Facebook and like us there. You can get to us by going to coasttocoastam.com, right-hand corner. And then follow us on Twitter as well. Okay, welcome back to Coast. Rob Schwartz is with us. Rob, though people pick, of course, as you mentioned, who they will be born with, and two, do they also pick the way they die?
George, as I understand it, before we are born, we set up a number of what are called exit points. The exit points are the moments in linear time in which we can choose, and it's not a human choice, but it's a choice on the soul level, to leave the body and return to our non-physical home. The exit points are spread out over the course of a lifetime so that you can do this at various stages of the lifetime. Now, why would a soul take an exit point? Well, basically under one of two different sets of circumstances. The first set of circumstances would be the soul has done what it came here to do and is now interested in returning home. The other set of circumstances is pretty much the opposite. It's that the soul has concluded that it will not, for some reason, be able to do what it came here to do, and so it would like to withdraw its energy from the physical incarnation and recycle it back into another lifetime. Now, having said that, sometimes some souls will finish everything that they came here to do in a lifetime, and a choice will be made to continue in the lifetime for different reasons, often having to do with service to others. The soul feels it can help other souls accomplish what they came here to do, and so decides to stay in body.
So they do it.
They do it, yes. Yes, absolutely.
All right, let's go to final calls here. Joe in the Bronx. Welcome to the show, Joseph.
Hey, George, how are you?
Good.
I wanted to ask Rob, now, is it possible, you mentioned the council earlier, is it possible to communicate during a lifetime with members of the council and to, like, maybe call them counselor and receive advice on, what we should do under particular situations in our life?
It is possible to do that. In fact, one of the things that I see most happen, most commonly when I do between-life soul regression, is that when the person is in front of the council, towards the end of their meeting with the council members will tell them, we are here as a resource to you. Feel free to come back to us on your own anytime you want to. You can do this yourself in meditation. And so they give the person a very empowering message about their own ability to contact the council and receive guidance from the council whenever they would like to.
Rob, this pre-birth planning, which still fascinates me, they have unlimited opportunities to pick exactly what they want to do and how they want to do it?
In theory, the opportunities are unlimited because what the soul is really doing, if you imagine a history book in front of you that has literally no beginning and no end, so it's as though the soul is thumbing through this infinite history book, and it finally comes to a page where it says, aha, at this point in linear time, in this geographic location, on this planet, with these other souls, if they will agree to come with me, I will have the optimal opportunity to experience what I want to experience and to learn what I want to learn. Now, even though in theory the soul can pick from any point in linear time, as I understand it, the options that are presented to the personality in the pre-birth planning session, at that point, the options are greatly narrowed down. And so the soul has created the plan, the personality is informed of the plan, or sometimes given perhaps two or three options. You can be this person in this body with these parents, or this other person, or that one, and then the personality can choose from among those options. But it's greatly narrowed down at that point because the soul knows what it wants to learn and has selected the optimal opportunities.
Does it ever make a mistake?
I don't think so, not from the perspective of the soul. Now, from the human perspective, it might appear that a mistake has been made.
Yeah.
But from the soul perspective, the soul knows that everything that happens here can be used for evolution, for expansion, for healing, for service to others. So from that perspective, there are no mistakes.
All right, let's go back to the calls. Let's go to Leo in Leonard, Texas, east of the Rockies. Leo, take it away.
Hi.
Hi there.
Really good subject tonight. I was wondering how many people, and I'm finding out there's more than just me that remembers their pre-birth planning.
You know, Leo, it's unusual to have memories of the pre-birth plan, but as you're finding out, there are a surprising number of people who do have those memories. And I, of course, because of the nature of my work, I hear from those people. I believe that having pre-birth memories is itself part of the pre-birth plan. So in other words, when you were designing your lifetime, or when your soul concluded that you would be best served and could best accomplish what you're coming here to do by having some memory of the pre-birth plan, perhaps as a way to inspire you, perhaps as a way to guide you in making certain choices. I think a lot of the choosing to remember has to do with doing certain work on the earth plane in which you're going to need a lot of trust in the goodness and love of the universe and a lot of faith in a higher power, so to speak, and a greater plan in order to do what you wanted to do here. And so you're given the pre-birth memory because it will give you that kind of trust and faith.
San Diego caller Lewis is with us now. Hi, Lewis. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
I was wondering, can a fetus cry before it is born? Would it be because the soul doesn't want to come in?
I don't know whether the fetus can cry literally per se, but as I understand it, by the time the choice has been made to come into body, the personality has agreed to the pre-birth plan. Otherwise, the personality isn't coming into the body. So any doubt or fear or worry or reluctance to engage in the pre-birth plan has already been assuaged on the soul level by the time the soul's energy comes into the fetus.
Rob, can you kind of give us a scenario of how that soul selects its destiny, how that works?
Basically, the way it works is that, let me put it this way. One of the mediums with whom I wrote Your Soul's Plan and Your Soul's Gift, when she goes into people's pre-birth planning sessions, Spirit shows her what appears to her to be an incredibly vast, intricate, and elegant flowchart. So what is a flowchart? It's a series of decision points. If you choose A, then X happens. If you choose B, then Y happens. So she reports that she sees a flowchart that is so vast and so intricate, it's almost beyond human comprehension.
Huh.
What is happening with that flowchart is that she is seeing the pre-birth options that are built into the person's blueprint. And the reason there are so many options is because each one of us has free will. Our souls know that we have it. Our souls know that we will use it. And that's what the soul wants, because that's how true growth and learning is accomplished. So the soul sets up what you could call backup plans. There's not just a plan A for a life. There's also a plan B, C, D, E, F, and on, beyond human comprehension. The so-called backup plans take into account our use of our free will.
All right, that's a pretty interesting take. First-time caller, Cookie, truck driving in Illinois. Hey, Cookie, go ahead.
Hi, how you doing, George?
Good, Cook.
Thank you for accepting my call-in. My question was, is it possible for two souls to possibly have possession, basically, of one body?
Ah,
like
okay.
Sharing it?
That's an interesting take. We talked earlier, Rob, at how one soul could split into two bodies. What about two souls into one body?
As I understand that that is possible, the term that is sometimes used for it is a braid, meaning that the two souls are braiding their energy into one coherent personality. Now, why would that be done? Well, it could be done for a number of reasons. It may be that one soul wants to have a certain experience, but has never had that experience on the earth plane before. And so it chooses to braid its energy with another soul that has had that experience many times, has some expertise, so to speak, with that particular experience. And so by combining their energies, the soul with the expertise can be of service to the one who wants to have the experience for the first time and allow it to happen smoothly.
Does that mean that we have a split personality that way?
No. In a braid, the energies are one coherent personality. So a split personality is something completely different. That's a psychological phenomenon, as I understand it. What we're talking about here is an energetic soul level phenomenon in which two and sometimes even more than two souls are weaving their energies together into one coherent whole.
We go next to Shani in Los Angeles. Shani, go ahead.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for talking
sure.
about this. I'm deeply grateful.
Thank you.
It's phenomenal information you guys are sharing with us, so God bless you for that. And I wanted to ask Rob how you feel about the subject. Well, I know my mom used to always tell me that I chose her, you know, and I chose her to be my mom, and I grew up thinking, oh, I chose my mom. What about me? Like, I've been pregnant, like, a couple times, but I was in a bad relationship, and I chose not to have that baby, you know? But I felt the same energy both times of the being or of the soul, you know. And it was very hard to make the decision I did, but I did. And I'm wondering in your how you would see it. Do you think the soul is the same soul that might come back? Because I used to dream about this, like, daughter all the time. I dreamed about it all the time, and now I don't. So in your opinion, is it always, like, the same soul? Or
that's an interesting take.
As I understand it, it's not always the same soul, but very often it is. And what you're describing is not unusual. If a soul wants to come in and be a particular person's child, and for whatever reason it isn't possible during the first attempt, the soul will often try again. In my second book, Your Soul's Gift, there's an entire chapter about the pre-birth planning of miscarriage and abortion. And yes, those things are planned as part of the life plan prior to birth. And one of the things Spirit shares with us in the channeling on abortion is that, you know, I ask in the channeling, we have such controversy here on the earth plane about abortion, and many believe that it's a sin. What would you say to us about that? And the response is, from the perspective of Spirit, we do not view it as a sin. It's something that is agreed upon by all involved souls at the soul level, and it's part of a plan. So coming back to the original question, I certainly believe that it's possible and probably even likely that it is the same soul coming back to you.
Rob, can we review the five life plan challenges again?
So, George, what I've seen in my work is that there are five main reasons why we ourselves plan great challenges before we're born. The first one is balancing karma. And that's probably the one that most of your listeners are most familiar with. Basically, that means that we feel incomplete with a certain experience, and so we plan additional similar experiences to balance it until we have a sense of completion with it. Second main reason for planning life challenges is healing. If there's been some kind of trauma in a past life and the healing from the trauma is not yet complete, we will take the energy of the trauma, so to speak, carry it back into body for the purpose of healing it. Third main reason for planning life challenges is service to others. This, by the way, is part of literally every single pre-birth plan I've ever looked at. Every single one has some component of service to others. Fourth main reason is experiencing contrast. This is the not love that I talked about earlier. We come from a realm of unconditional love. We experience no contrast to ourselves. We come here for the not love, the contrast, because then we understand what unconditional love really is. And the fifth main reason, which is really a subset of number two, healing, but I like to break it out on its own because it's so important, is healing or correcting false feelings or false beliefs about the self. Two of the most common are the belief or the feeling that one is unworthy and the belief or feeling that one is powerless. Your soul knows itself to be infinitely worthy and infinitely powerful. So if you pick up in a particular lifetime a belief that you are not powerful or not worthy, you'll take that back into body energetically for the purpose of healing it.
So that's a good thing.
It is a good thing. Now, from the human perspective, it might, during the course of a lifetime, be seen as a bad thing because it could bring some big challenges with it. But from the soul level perspective, it is a good thing.
Okay, let's go to Dave in Vermont now. David, it's your turn on Coast to Coast.
Good morning.
Hey.
Great show, George, as every night. Thank you.
Thank you.
Rob, I have an interesting question. You said that we pick our parents. My mother, for all the things that she's gone through between myself, my sister, and my father, should be crowned a saint. But my father, who has recently died, was not the best of parents. He had a lot of faults. There were times when he was great, times when he was not. But if I got to pick him, why did I pick somebody that would spend 10 years of my life abusing me in every way, shape, and form, and also doing the same to my sister?
Good question. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, a very good question. There are a number of reasons for doing that, and there's entire chapters in the books addressing this subject. But just to take a simple example, let's say that you are a soul who cares very deeply about compassion. You want to understand everything there is to know about compassion. How might you do that? Well, you can't really know compassion by watching other souls be compassionate. You certainly can't understand compassion by reading about it. The only way to really understand compassion is by having the experience of being compassionate. So very often a soul who cares deeply about having that experience will plan prior to birth to have a parent, one or more parents who are abusive. The thinking is that the abuse in the family environment forces the individual to turn within, where hopefully they cultivate self-compassion, and then later in life they take the compassion they've cultivated for themselves and turn it outward in some form of service to others. That is the basic outline of the plan. It's a very common plan. Yes, it's hard to understand from the human perspective, but from the soul perspective, it really makes quite a bit of sense, and it's actually profoundly effective.
Tim is in Wisconsin. Tim, let's squeeze you in real fast. Go ahead.
Hi. My question is about pop culture and whether the council uses pop culture as a way to kind of move souls through to check what large amounts of souls off on certain duties at one time.
He was breaking up a little bit there, but the pop culture, Rob, does that tie into any soul work?
George, from my perspective and what I see in my work is that everything has a deeper spiritual meaning and purpose. We choose the point in linear time in which we're going to be born, and we understand, we're shown very clearly before we come into body what will be happening in pop culture at that time. So if you choose to be born into a particular type of pop culture, you know about all of this in advance, and you understand very clearly how you will have the opportunity to work with it, to foster your own expansion, your own healing, and how you will work with it to be of service to others. So it's all incorporated into the pre-birth planning.
All right, my friend. Thanks for being on the program, Robin. Very quickly, give out your website, would you?
www.yoursoulsplan.com, and people can read large excerpts from the two books for free on the website.
Very good. Thank you. Rob Schwartz in the books, of course, Your Soul's Plan and Your Soul's Gift. For Jeff DeRay, Tom Danheiser, Dan Galante, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Borelson, George Knapp. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.